right. So this is Michael Woodson, and I am convening the Technology Committee, first Technology Committee meeting for the PNG. And on the line so far, we have Rob Robinson, Dave Adelson, Henry Knorr, John Sirius, Bill Crozier, Michael Woodson, and who else was on? I'm sorry?
Badra Kilgour.
Yeah. WBAI.
And by the way, John Sirius's last name is Almella.
Thanks.
Yep.
And I'm also on, pardon me, Pete Karakis.
And Pete Karakis, sorry.
I made the same mistake with John, too. Michael, don't feel bad.
Starting out great. All right, so what we want to do, did someone else join us just now?
Yeah, Mary Berg. Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah, you could hear me. Okay. Not sure if this phone is working or not. Okay.
So that gives us seven members, one short of quorum, I believe, if Mike's down.
Mike, this is Dave.
Yeah.
I'd like to suggest we work as a committee as a whole until we achieve quorum, whereon we can adopt any recommendations of the committee as a whole.
Are there any objections to that?
No.
Right. Okay, so let's start then by talking about the agenda. Is that right?
Let's see. That's not... Okay. You didn't, is that in an email? It isn't, is it?
I don't think Michael sent out an objection.
An agenda,
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I suggested one. We do have to, when we get quorum, we need to elect a chair. And then I would think
right.
We need to try to set a time or think about a time when we can meet, you know, what's best for everybody. And anyway, but right now we're just going to talk about some of the... I put on the agenda that the staff were going to report to us about, basically this update, what they presented to the board in January. And that would give the LSB members who didn't tune into the January board meeting some background on what we're doing.
Can we start with that, and that way we may get quorum before we do anything else?
Good thought. Okay.
Yeah, and I guess we need a note taker.
I'm taking notes, Michael. It's Rob.
Rob, okay. All right, so Peter, John, do you want to take over and talk about your concerns from the staff position?
Can you hear me?
Do you want to talk about concerns, or do you want to go over the highlights of the recent PNB report, or
could you start with the PNB report summary and then go to what you think are the major issues before you?
Sure. Actually, John, would you want to start, or you want me to get going, or?
You want to start, Pete? I'm
trying to pull up the actual report, believe it or not. One second.
Any recommendations for what we should be, individual stations should be doing also to assist with all this, let us know.
Well, just to take the big picture of the report is broken up into a radio section, which John wrote and reported on, an internet IT section, which I wrote and reported on, and a training and documentation section that I guess we both kind of worked on together. And there's also a... Hello. There's also an appendix, which kind of goes over the Pacifica needs assessment and where we're at in that and what the scope of the needs assessment is, and goes into some kind of detail, so it's broken out as a separate appendix. This is all available at civicafoundation.org/national. And, well, it was available when the PNB meeting happened at pacifica.org, but now I think it's been bumped off the page.
Pete, before you go on, can somebody tell me how to mute on this call? Is it #1?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'll try. Okay, sorry to bother you.
I think on this one it's *6. I think. I'm not positive.
Okay, just for the record, if you go to pacifica.org for the LSB members and for your peers, if they're interested, if you go to pacifica.org on the right-hand column, it says, the title says Reports to the PNB, and just under that there's a link to the Reports to the PNB. It says can be found here. And if you go there, it'll take you to this main page, which links to all the reports, all the manager's reports, executive director's reports, and this technical report, which is listed as the operations report, actually.
I also sent
the big picture. Those are the three sections, radio, internet, IT, training, and documentation. If you want, I can give you the broad strokes on what I cover in the internet part of the report. I'm just curious. There are not many. I think if my count is right, there are only 3 LSB members and 4 PMB, I shouldn't say only, but there are 3 LSB and 4 PMB members. Do you have any questions? Did you look at the internet section in particular, or anything you want me to go over in particular, or just go through the whole thing?
I'm having trouble following the directions you just gave. I'm at pacificafoundation.org/national, but I don't see a report.
Yeah, at the very bottom, it's the last item on the homepage. It says Pacific Operations Report.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I don't want to be accused of putting technology first all the time, you know, and being biased, so I put it last, to be honest.
Got it.
But it's there. And so, okay, and then you'll see, when you get there, it only looks like there's a couple of paragraphs,
yeah.
But on the top right, it's like a table of contents.
Article index.
Top right, yeah.
Got it.
And just jump right to a section. And anyway, so I'll just, the internet IT section just gives an overview of the work I'm doing. It focuses on the national IT efforts to a large degree. Internet efforts to a large degree. It talks about the websites. I mentioned the separate websites and explained how they're focused and more targeted than before, having one site that tries to do everything. I go into web services that I try to provide for the network, including document management for staff, HR, managers, et cetera, e-commerce solutions, and other services like streaming WBAI. John and I stream WBAI 24/7. John, of course, and Otis and others stream the PNB meetings, so these are the under web services. Then the fourth part of the internet report, I go into future plans and concerns, discuss training, outreach, and marketing to the new Pacifica website, discuss upgrades on Audio Port 2.0 coming out this year, discuss alternative distribution methods for national programming, enhanced backup solutions, digital audio archives and licensing concerns, and discuss John's been pioneering this effort, the Barracks products, which are the technology that we really should embrace to help our distribution streamline and be more efficient. And so those are future plans and concerns. Then another section is I have 2 areas that I call in focus. And in the first in-focus area is server integrity and security, and the second in-focus area is on an intranet and what we could and should be doing with enhancing our local intranets. That's the broad stroke without boring everyone, but I'd love to have feedback on the specifics of the report. During the PMB meetings, it's often rushed and everyone is kind of hurrying through report after report. but I'd love to hear some concerns and feedback from this part or any part of the report from you folks, if not now, in future meetings. But and by the way, I have some backlog, but I hope to have all the prior web reports and technology reports on the site by the next PMB meeting, so that and certainly by the next tech committee meeting, so that if you folks care to, you can look at prior reports. They tended to get lengthy, but there's a lot of good stuff there.
This is Dave. I have a question.
Sure.
Could you describe the tech services that we provide right now to affiliates, and what you would like, what you think we should be providing to affiliates? And the same question to John.
Well, the services at its most basic are tech support services during crisis and during doing crisis prevention and regular maintenance, kind of with new affiliates and with turnover and staff and affiliates, you know, answering frequently asked questions from them and dealing with issues as they arise. That's the big one. Other one is would like to move into more active services, like providing John and I. John has been doing some research in this specifically. He sent me recently some test software for our automation that we can maybe provide for our clients, not just for affiliates, for our sister stations too, if we can find free, easy to set up automation solutions. That's something that's of need, especially for the our affiliates tend to be of, you know, a lower they have considerably less operating costs, of revenue than even our smaller stations, KPFW. And so we're really talking about operations.
Great.
So they're looking for any kind of support services, from automation, distribution, internally as well, if we could provide. And so on that level, the software any software that Pacific has developed thus far is made available as open source software with regards to the audio port. Sean Ewald contracted to upgrade what was the old software for Radio for All for many years, and part of the contract with Sean was to ensure that the end product was open source for others to use. Right now I'm working with another group of folks to upgrade the software that you see at Pacifica.org. My hope there is to spin that off as an open source project as well.
Hey, so, Pete, yeah. You're kind of echoing.
That was probably because I had the mic open. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Anyway, so providing services like work that we do, and at least work that I've done in terms of software development and application development.
Is that just me?
Yeah, it's echoing.
It's echoing again.
Hello, John. Sorry.
It reminds me of that intense echoing we had at the telephone conference for the PNB.
I want to say that
I think we have a new quorum now.
Oh.
Is that Rip Robbins? Did Rip Robbins join us?
I didn't hear.
Did anyone join us just now?
Oh, I thought, Michael, I must have mistaken you for Rip. I'm sorry.
No.
Let me just say on that note, John and I often start our work day talking around 9 o'clock or earlier, updating each other on the morning's distribution of Democracy Now! And Informativo Pacifica and other distribution concerns regarding specials and other things. So the point is, and right now it's past 9 o'clock Eastern time. So, a little echo aside, John is really a professional, and he works extraordinarily long hours. Really. And so every time you folks hop on one of these meetings, I know you folks put in a long day with your jobs as well, but know that John is doing work from early on all through the day and then does this. It's really commendable that he's been doing it for all this time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anyway, so service...
You didn't mention audio port, Pete.
Yeah, the other one is, you know, new service like streaming the KU on internet, so we can actually market to LPFMs and smaller market affiliates, so that it, meaning that you don't have to cough up $2,500 for a satellite dish that's not going to have really much use going into the 21st century. Moving to web distribution services, streaming, and then the audio port for on-demand content was a huge step forward. So in the big picture, in the last 5 years, these are the type of services, and then some. I'm sure John has others.
Can I ask one other question, Pete? What is our current bandwidth usage, and what happens if we were to suddenly double, for example, our existing online listening, either downloads or streaming?
Well, if you're talking about live streaming, it varies from station to station.
Yeah.
I was an ISP in a many, many moons ago, back in the late 20th century, and I'm weary of unlimited and you know, these kind of marketing terms, because there's always an asterisk and there's always a technical limit. And even if the person really purely means unlimited, there's a technical limit to how much that port and how much that connection and how much that server or CPU can actually handle. So not knowing the details, KPFK, of KPFK, which seems to have an abundant amount of bandwidth, but I don't know the details there. I know KPFA seems to have resources up to close to 1,000 live streaming users, that they don't often exceed or come to that limit. I don't know of WPFW's limit, though I know that it's not quite up to what they hope just yet. At KPFT, the same. I'm not really sure. And I know at WBAI, because, again, John and I have been doing it since last March, BAI can facilitate up to 2,400, I think, is how it's configured now. I have it configured. And it's a function of how many hundred we allow at this rate or that rate, 24K versus 64 versus 128. We can play with the numbers, but it's between 2,200 and 2,400 users capacity. And we're not close to that. So there's no, I don't see us really getting beyond that. Now, having said that, I found solutions that would mean, you know, very low cost solutions that would allow us to replicate what's happening at WBI at other stations, where we could, for a couple of hundred dollars in the range of $200 a month, we could provide similar 2,200 to 2,400 streams for our stations and ramp up this way. Or if we feel we're going to be doing programming or marketing that would mean even larger growth, I guess I would want to at that point look at outsourcing or partnering up with someone else. But I don't know if that's too long an answer or not detailed enough, but really my answer is it depends on the station, and generally speaking, we are well below threshold. We're not even like 80% or 70% capacity where I would be concerned to increase our capacities. We are at 20 or 25% capacity off and running.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is Bill in Houston. I have a question. I think KPFT's limit is a lot lower than that. I asked Steve, our engineer, a while back, and I think we have less than 50, 50. I think we can stream less than that at the same time. I'm not sure, but this also ties in with, I think, something we all want to do is, you know, be prepared in coming years for a lot more internet access. You know, web access is going to be a lot more available, Wi-Fi, all kinds of places. And if we can tie this in with better metadata so that search engines can find our programs, then we may get, and I hope we do, get a lot more people interested in streaming or going to our archives. So I think we should be planning for a lot increase in the future.
One point on that, Brian DeShazer, the archives director, has asked that we use a different term than archive, because when he's talking about archiving, it means something different. So I would like to suggest we say our audio logs, And that was really, Pete, where my question was, is not so much the streaming, but for people podcasting and downloading content, can we accommodate everybody that's doing it now? And if the station started to heavily promote online offerings or programmers started putting additional content up, do we have headroom right now, or is that something we need to be concerned with?
Again, the station, let me also, I forgot to mention, in the last year, I've increased the capacity of one of Pacifica's servers. So at Pacifica, we can provide, again, 2,200 to 2,400 streams through the Pacifica.org server. And right now, none of the stations are taking advantage of that. Or really, I haven't been able to work out with any of the stations for them to take advantage of it as well. It's a combination of both. So having said that, the station I know the most data, the most specific data on, I'm looking at the stats right now, in fact, for the BAI archive. It fluctuates. I'm looking at a 12-month, looking at 12 months of data here so I can get a good range. On an average month, even on the peak month over the last 12 months, we could more than quintuple that traffic. On the peak month of the last 12 months, we can more than quintuple it and not exceed our monthly costs. And if we do, the monthly costs won't be that significant. The increase will be maybe $20 increase that month if we blow up. Now, if we, again, I'm not sure if that was that Mike or was that Bill from KPFT or something. I'm not sure who said that if we should increase our capacities, and I agree.
It was Bill.
I'm sorry if that was Bill. I agree with that, but it doesn't happen overnight, and so you would see, you know, a few months, 3 to 6 month growth rate, and so we are well below the level that I would be concerned right now. If we saw a 3 to 6 month growth rate that gets us close to our capacity, then we should start talking, you know, after the summer about increasing our capacity. I'd love to have that discussion, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, maybe we should let John wade in a little bit if he wants to.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Unless,
hello,
Pete, are you at a good stop?
I'm one. Thank you.
Hello.
I guess you guys. Hello. Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. A little bit of technical problems today. I've been using the system for something else, and I didn't get a chance to reconfigure it. Oh, that's great.
There's still a little feedback.
Yeah, I don't know why. Let me. That's a little weird. We can talk about compliance. We've passed some compliance rules and standards recently about some FCC compliance standards that deal with FCC language regulations. We also have an HD radio report. The only people that don't have them are Sherry and Henry, because they were added late to the committee and I didn't get a chance to send them, but I'm going to send them out tonight. We're talking about the future of the KU, as Pete has kind of mentioned. Let's see what else we've got here. Talking about, I guess it was Dave that asked about the affiliates. There's one more project that we've been talking about. It's kind of on the back burner at this point, but we're working on it, which is a way to distribute live content, possibly to the affiliates, so that they could have, let's say, an archiving machine, so that as something goes.
John, 1 second. Did someone just join us?
Yeah, someone said hello. Who was that? Who said hello? Oh,
I would like to read Mr. Reed on this committee.
I don't think so.
Will the woman say hello?
Okay, John, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This would be a kind of archiving type system or logging type system that would log the programs coming over the KU, and you could actually choose which programming that you want, and it would appear as it was coming in real time at the end of the show. Of its broadcast over the KU, it would actually appear as a sound file on the station's hard drive. So we're working on that. We actually have the transport for that, but we don't. We're kind of figuring out exactly how to start and stop the program. So,
John, can I get some clarity on that?
Sure.
Let me just mention that Steve wondered why we didn't use the Steve Brightwell.
Mm-hmm.
We can use the KU band to do a programming, 24-hour programming, so that if something happens and they had to walk out of the station, they could just plug into the other band on the KU. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. But
no, this would actually be...
talking about just throwing things into the mix,
This is actually on the receive end, not on the send end. We don't do 24-hour programming on the satellite at this point because most people wouldn't be able to receive it. They wouldn't, they don't have automated systems. We also don't really, we really don't have anybody to operate the KU on a 24-hour basis.
I don't mean to get into that. That's such a side issue. Go back to the issue that you were on.
Okay, this would be a logging system. So let's say that you want to play later in the day Informativo Pacifica, which currently comes over KU Wright at 8:30 a.m. on the Eastern time. So what you could do is you would be able to select that, let's say, from a page that would have the day's programming, and you'd be able to click on the box, and let's say you could click it on weekly, or you could click it on daily, however you want it. And what would happen is, as the program started, the logging or archiving or whatever you want to call it, the software on that server machine would grab that internet stream and start writing it as an MP3 file onto that hard drive, and then stop it when the program ends, and then you would have that later in the day to play, just as if you downloaded it from AudioPort, except it would actually be on your local computer. Is that fairly clear?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Go ahead and tell us your other...
Well, we really spent a lot of time on the HD radio program. Pete talked about the needs assessment. I don't think we want to go into HD radio tonight because I think that that's going to be a full meal, and I think we want to really, I'd like if people actually read it through and have some questions to ask, so when we go through it, they'll be ready for it. But that's kind of an overview of what we've been working on.
Yeah, I definitely focused on HD, and I want to stay off of it as well. This is pretty overwhelming to me, as it might be for anybody here who hasn't really, been on the committee and the committee hasn't gotten up and running, or hasn't been. So I'm trying to get a handle on what we're doing. I guess the best thing to do is sort of get a sense for where we're going. We've been hesitating to do that because we want forum, but... there's a lot of stuff that I don't understand. Maybe other people are clear on it, but there's so much coming and going here that we need to focus. So, yeah.
Mike is good. I was going to suggest one thing we should, I think, consider real early on is just dividing into at some point, either subgroups, task force, or just dividing the meeting into the two divisions that we just heard about, which is
radio side stuff, and the other is digital distribution stuff. One of the things I eventually want to know about, because we're supposed to be informing the Board of Emerging Technologies, is in which of those spheres might come distribution through things like cell phones, which is about to get very big. But anyhow, if we could, that's probably in digital distribution. So maybe we should organize ourselves into those two halves just to
give
ourselves
just so much
focus
to
in each area.
Yeah.
Well, Pete had talked about a couple of things that were issues for him, and maybe what we could each do is say the things that we think are, we're not, there's no way we'll get everything addressed, so we better pick one or two things that
right.
we really think that we as a committee can contribute, and I would like to see us come out of this with a sense of what maybe we try to do on the digital distribution side and what we try to do on the you know, radio tech side. And,
yeah,
and I think we need to hear from John and Pete what they think needed from a policy standpoint.
Are there any other members of the committee who would like to speak up at this point?
Well, David made sense to me. Mary Grew.
I have a question. This is Henry Knorr. Is this the only group of people, and it's John and Pete and the rest of us tagging along, that's working on the digital distribution, or is there some management entity that's working on it as well, either at the stations or at the national?
Well, when you digital distribution with regards to internet distributions, on the internet distribution side, from a lot of staff, from Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliate coordinator, who's relaying loads of needs and concerns from our 100-plus affiliates. We have, for the last year, have had regular meetings with the managers and program directors of the sister stations and Pacific Radio Archives and national staff as well. So we're discussing things amongst staff on a fairly regular basis, collaborating even with some degree, having conference calls with operations staff, the local level, that hasn't been as regular as we had hoped or probably need to do it. But
in terms of longer term direction and vision, whatever, is that coming out of from you guys to the?
We also have a licensing and distribution task force, Henry, that I'm chairing. This is Rob Robinson. And we're trying to resolve some of the immediate legal technical problems that would enable Pacifica to do two things. One is for Pacifica to begin doing online distribution of programming centrally, and the second thing would be to do digital distribution of program content via something that's called Creative Commons licenses,
right.
Which is a way to share, well, you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
But basically,
that's great. Okay.
Yeah, and the board voted that they wanted to explore moving in the direction of expanding the digital profile of the network at the last meeting in January.
Actually, specifically, they called, because your question was about management, they called on the executive director and station management to develop a strategy for an aggressive increase in online presence, online use of distribution.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think everybody is kind of overwhelmed. You've got issues of management support and outreach and technical needs and staff serving stations and the Pacifica staff serving the needs of the people, and it just goes on and on and on. So. I think the best thing, I'm with Dave, I think the best thing to do is sort of get a sense from Pete and John about what the committee here can do in service, to achieve whatever is crucial in this, you know, where you start, and what kind of support they need. Do they need outreach? Do they need us to help organize the direction of staff support or what, you know? And I'm mindful that Dave set up this binary of the radio and digital distribution as well. So.
Well, as Pete said, when it comes time to reevaluate budgets, we're probably going to be asking for your support there.
Can I make a point on that?
Yeah.
I'd like to see us really define what our staffing needs are, what kind of tasks also we're going to try and do internally as an institution, and what kind of tasks we think are best done through identifying partners. Like, what is the piece that we could really do best and that makes the most sense for us to invest in? And on the finance committee, one of the things we're asking the stations for is sort of an 18-month plan about how they're going to deal with staffing issues. There should also one other point that's worth mentioning, apropos finance, which is we're considering a request for proposals process. Right now, most of the work gets done by paid staff who are assigned tasks by their managers. What this is going to be is a request that people submit proposals in one of three areas, technology/infrastructure, outreach, and programming, and that we have a way of reviewing those things and identifying a few projects in each area that we would fund. So we may get ideas coming back from that. And in the area of technology, this committee would probably have a few representatives on the panel of people who would review such proposals. So that's something that we may get into. But I'd like to hear from Pete and John what they think our strength is right now, what our greatest weaknesses, what our greatest need is, and what our best opportunity for partnering is. And maybe not off the top of their head if they can't do it, but I'd like us to answer those questions in the next couple months.
Let me ask if anyone else has joined since the last time we did a round of people on the line.
How do we do that?
Well, I guess if you just joined, let us know.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't say you were here before, are you here now?
Are we at quorum? So are we not?
No, that's why I keep asking.
Yeah.
We have 7 out of 8.
I know that Alfonso from Houston will call in late. He called me again and said he's still trying to get home from work. So, anyway,
Since we're not doing official business, if I could backtrack and answer a couple of questions from a few minutes ago. First, to speak to the feeling overwhelmed. A lot of Pacifica staff feels the same way, but the reality is there is a broader net. I just gave some of the highlights. For example, the Affiliates Committee has a technology subcommittee that's working on things, issues like, you know, what is an affiliate and how, if we redefine affiliation, what new services are necessary and needs come out of there, as well as the Programming Committee. Rob has done tremendous work over the last few years and has fleshed out beyond programming the technical and operational needs for programming to actually happen. So along those lines, the various committees that are charged with their own respective responsibilities have identified technical needs, though, again, this technology committee hasn't been here to kind of put it all together. As I said, my concern, bringing back to a policy issue, though, beyond being overwhelmed with the issues, because there's plenty of folks filling in where their needs are and their concerns are, in addition to this body, but this body, I think, needs to step in and in the umbrella kind of fashion, say, when the budget is created, by what measure do we define if we have sufficient resources allocated in technology? Is it through a staffing ratio? Is it by a budget ratio, or overall staffing equation, a formula of some sort? And then identify what services first. Like David said, we have to identify, of course, what services we're talking about. The staff need what does staff need to do? Operations staff specifically to work with programming staff to make sure that we have quality of service that we really need to move forward in the new century. So that's the big concern in terms of policy. For me, an overall finance policy that is our that we have sufficient funds in this area and resources in this area. Also, just to step back another second, is you had mentioned that it's kind of split up the work of the group into the two areas. I would add the third part of the report, which was documentation and training. It doesn't really directly go to the charge of the committee to advise the board as to emerging technologies, but I mean this, you know, I love this network, but the reality is we're not fully maximizing and leveraging current technologies. So before we talk about emerging technologies, I think we should really focus on the current technologies, and that speaks to we really don't document and train to the level that we could do right now, beyond even, you know, cell phone distribution and new modes and things that seem like, you know, light years ahead or years ahead. Right now, with what we're doing right now, the technology, the part of the technology committee that can directly relate to that is focusing on training and documentation, which, again, doesn't sound sexy. It's not emerging technology, but is relevant. So I would say if this body would look at categorizing the work to say radio is one category, internet IT is another, and training and documentation to be a third. Maybe not 33% of the time, but those would be the three big picture items.
Hello, Michael.
Go ahead, Mary. Hello?
Documentation, I think, is really, really crucial, and so is training. So I have to really agree with that because it never happens, and it doesn't happen when everybody knows that and has dealt with anything. And that's a big weak link. So, yeah, I think we definitely should do that.
Now, this is Bill in Houston. I guess another question I have is not just for national staff, but to how we can reduce duplication of effort. And I'm just thinking of things like several of our programmers have their own individual email lists where they send out information about upcoming programs, but it's not on the KPFT website, and much less on the Pacifica. And we have a few of them enter metadata that goes into our log in our station so-called archives. But most of them don't, and many of our programmers have their own websites even. But you know, I'm thinking of a way we can get more of this tied together, both to reduce duplication of effort, you know, within our station as well as across the network, so that we can help each other out and make it easier for people searching for, say, information on some person that may be interviewed on one of our programs for people to find them.
Well, actually, I think that's addressed by Pete's program guide, a lot of that.
That's a what?
Okay.
By the program guide on Pacifica.org?
Yeah, that's the code word, the inside code word. Not very marketing.
Oh, right. I know what you mean.
New site. The new site actually does try to address that, but really, Bill, there's a couple of answers in that list of concerns, and one is, I don't think we should discourage our producers from marketing their programs with their own websites and lists. But I do agree that we should have better resources available for our national efforts and local efforts of marketing and e-commerce. And we need better consolidated efforts on a national level, and that's why I said earlier potential policy could be some kind of online fundraising policy could be maybe to think about having one centralized e-commerce secure donation center so that we can further consolidate efforts and then figure out the board and the LSBs can determine how to divvy up the funds, so to speak. But I think we would have greater impact collectively if we were to go down that route. If we're going to talk about consolidating efforts, which I agree, but we shouldn't just start at that email list. We should really also talk about on the donation side rather than promoting five or six different shopping carts and a different one when PRA does a national special and a different one when KPFT is in a drive and a different one when KPFA is in drive, especially as we're looking to promote our internet streamers, which are people that are hopping from potentially from station to station. It would be a greater impact if everyone's hearing the same, you know, support Pacifica.org or something that's a, you know, consolidated site. So there's a lot of answers there. As I said, the new site is the more stations that embrace the application that I put together for Pacifica.org, I think should be able to leverage a lot of new e-marketing features beyond even mailing lists, but to leverage news aggregating sites like Technorati or Dig. You know, there's a couple of dozen of these sites which aggregate blogs and other kind of posts, and they're beyond the traditional search engines, Google and Yahoo, et cetera. So the new site really has a lot of these hooks into it. The trick is to get the stations to want to implement it within their sites, and beyond that, have the producers actually use it. And so,
right. You said that's in a report that's on Pacifica.org?
The level of detail with regards to e-marketing and e-commerce ideas, it's not in this report, but it will be in my PMB report for the D.C. meeting.
Okay,
and Well,
what I was thinking was, again, yeah, I don't want to discourage programmers from having their own websites if they want to, but some of them don't even have the information on a website. It's just in the email. So they've taken the time and trouble to type up, you know, who's going to be on their show and or what's on the last show, but it's not searchable by anything. And if it was on their own individual website, it's not. I don't think it's as good as having it on one of our station's websites or the Pacifica website, because if one of the goals is to drive people to our websites, you know, it's not doing that. So I'm thinking if we can provide an easy way for programmers to have this information on our own website, they won't have to maintain their own site, for example, if they don't want to. But, and people, you know, somebody in a library types in Aaron Watata or Impeachment or Scooter Libby or whatever, it'd be great if they got a bunch of hits on one of our websites. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Again, I think that usage, if the local producers and stations embrace the new software, I think we're going to be doing a lot of that. For example, I want to get too specific on the first meeting. We should be more broad stroke, but to give an example, the new site's been live at Pacifica.org since end of January for a little bit more than a month, about a month and a half. And my experience is within 15 to 30 minutes of posting a new segment, which generally comes from Democracy Now! Or Free Speech Radio News, Google, which is gives the most information to me as a webmaster to measure. Google is indexing these pages within 15 to 30 minutes, and if it's a hot item, let's say the other day, 50th anniversary of independence of
Ghana.
Yeah, Pacifica was the top-ranked feature in Google News for searching, you know, any search for Ghana or the 50th anniversary celebration of Ghana. Pacifica was up there for the first few hours within 15 minutes of posting it. So if we can just expand this and have every one of our programmers putting, or 80 or 50 or 30% of our programmers putting in their content, the breadth of content that we do, and the amount of producers that are covering these top stories, we would be getting rank results on an hourly basis.
Yeah, well, how do we do that? I guess that's the question.
I'm saying it's done. We just have to, on the technical side, it's done. We have to ensure that it's embraced, that the buy-in happens from the local stations and the staff, that the staff has the support and the motivation to do it, to actually use the software. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm beginning a training, you know, initiative. I'm going to start with WBAI. I've been working with the local manager there. I'm going to have a series of trainings with the staff there. So that we're in the process of that. But again, that's getting too detailed. Broad,
yeah.
Big picture stuff. You know, we have technology to address a lot of those concerns. You know, you mentioned partnerships too earlier. You folks mentioned partnerships. Going back to 2002, when I did my first report to the IPNB at the time, I listed partnership potentials then that we should be embracing and that we could still embrace, from indie media for real technical infrastructure and collaboration, Radio for All, another, again, to collaborate and to kind of cross over distribution, content, et cetera. And then technical groups that we can possibly partner up with to share, like archive.org and other, you know, groups along the lines where anyone, you know, non-profit-oriented organizations that are looking to spread free speech
There's an ISP group that actually is very free speech oriented, just like archive.org as well. So, I mean, along these lines, there are some groups, I don't know how politically progressive they are per se, or if they really measure themselves on political issues per se, but they are on free speech issues and on other community distribution issues, civic media issues. We have partnership potential depending on what area we're talking about. So, I mean, anyway, going back to O2, I've been talking about these things, but to implement it, the board and other others within the network really have to brace it as well. So.
I want to be mindful of Bill's request, and I know a lot gets done through tedious, through the minutia, finding out how to share this information. But as Pete said, there's like a broad stroke thing going on tonight that I want to work ourselves through. Did Alfonso jump on the line yet?
Hey, I'm here. I don't know if you guys can listen to me. Can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, can you hear me? Yeah, I've been on the phone for the last probably 10 minutes and listening to you, so I didn't want to interrupt. I didn't know if I have to tell you that I'm in here, but I've been here for a little bit.
Well, welcome.
And so we now have a forum. I just got back on because I got knocked off because my cell phone lost connection.
All right. So I think we may have forum now if we still have all the members we started with. So can
we call the roll first of all, Michael?
Yes.
Do you have it in front of you? Because I don't.
I do. Yes. I can call it. Mary Berg.
Present.
Henry Knorr.
Present.
Sherry Gentleman. And if I mispronounce his name.
I think it's Gendelman.
It is Gendelman.
She's not here. Lisa Davis.
No.
Andrea Fishman. Vajra Kilgore.
Kilgour. Present.
Dave Adelson.
Here.
Ali Lexa. Fernando Velasquez. Rob Robinson.
Here.
Michelle Smith. Zarina Shakur. Michael Woodson here. Bill Crozier.
Yeah, I'm here.
Alfonso Rivera.
Yes, I'm here.
Rip Robbins. What's your last name, Pete? I'm sorry.
Caracas.
Pete Caracas.
And John Amella.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm here. Could we plan for the next meeting and actually set what things that we'd actually like to discuss so that we can go into them in a bit more in depth?
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
I may have to get off in a sec, so I wanted to say two things about that. First, John, do you remember I set up a blog for the Pacifica Tech Committee? And if you know, I'm not where I can see the address, but if you could, I'll email people about that, and maybe we could do some stuff on that blog. But the other thing is, I think apropos of Pete's comments about the budget, it would be very useful if everybody on this committee took a look at the budget. I'll send it to them. If you look at it, the places where tech dollars could be are actually very few. There's one for web. There's a general category called salaries and related that's not broken out by group. I think one of the things that might be useful is to have the CFO, Ronnie Hicks, come on our next tech committee call and talk a bit about how the tech budget is constructed during the budget process and how we might be involved in that. I think that would give us some structure to the pieces of it that Pete talked about. So I'd like to recommend that on our next call we invite the CFO for 20 to 30 minutes to discuss how budget planning for tech is done.
I respectfully would like to modify that to maybe the subsequent meeting because this is just our first meeting, we should define our agendas and the big picture and then more flesh out our concerns and our issues before bringing on Lonnie, because he may not be able to come on again for some time, so we should prepare a little better for that.
Right.
So then maybe in the next meeting we could have instead a section on discussing how tech is reflected in the budget.
Great.
Maybe financial issues of continuing the KU band satellite for some point in the future versus alternatives.
Yep.
This is Rob Robinson. Could I speak for a minute, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, as chairman of the programming committee, also, I think programming, like technology, is one of the areas where Pacifica has the capacity to be strategic, because I think that the technology does provide us with some abilities to take what we have, which is a lot of programming, and find ways to bundle it together and to reach larger numbers of listeners. But for some reason, year after year after year, if you look at the budgets and if you look at what we do as a network, we do not put our money and we do not put our organizational skills into maximizing either the technological opportunities we have or the technologies that are developing, which we can get into at very low cost, and couple it with our programming. And so what happens over time, and we've seen in the last 3 years that we've experienced both a drop in listenership and a drop in growth of revenues when compared to expenditures. And I think that it's very important that one of the things that this committee really does is understand what is necessary for us, what funding do we have to provide to create the technological capacity that we have to really do something. And the first thing that you look at strategically is that not only are we funding, or we not funding technology or programming in Pacifica, but we don't have any goals for them as an organization. We don't have goals. And I think until we come to grips with some of these problems and begin to think strategically and begin to establish some goals and begin to answer some of the questions of why don't we put resources into the things that cost the least, that can give us the most bang for the buck, in terms of listenership and converting listeners to members, I don't think we're going to progress. So I would really like to ask that we look at some of these issues like budgeting and the division of radio versus technological versus the internet strategically. We know that we don't, for example, from the standpoint of the internet, we know that there's very little merchandising that goes on, either in terms of merchandising programs or merchandising stuff from the local stations or from the network. And I think we've never really looked at these things. So I would simply like to say that technology is an area where we have tremendous strategic potential, but until we make some commitments and adopt some national strategies, we're not going to do any better than we've done in the past. And I'm very concerned that we do better than we've done in the past.
I'd like anyone else to wade in like that, you know, who's on the committee as the convener.
This is Henry Knorr again. That seems completely right to me. I mean, just coming into my first meeting, it's not so much that I'm overwhelmed by the amount of information, it's that I feel like that we as a network need, and if we don't have it already, and I guess we don't, we definitely need to have, a broad overview, or call it a strategy, a vision, whatever you want, in which to think about the details of specific issues.